All right, and we're back. But now it is not quite back. We're after dark. I was going to say I've done something like pulled my pants, but I haven't done any of that stuff. I haven't even gotten up since we started doing the intermission. But on the other hand, I don't even know what I'm going to say. Hey, good. We're going to do a call-in segment, though. We're going to just do one call-in, so yep. You're answered in the order you are received. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Let's do this. All right, and we're back for the After Dark segment. We have seven poets lined up here. We're just going to get right into it.
Do you want to review the rule real quick?
The only rule is no hate speech.
There you go.
And that's it.
That's it.
And other than that, we got fly swatters and all kinds of weird stuff going on over here. There may even be a taser or two in the mix.
Yikes.
I know, that's a little much. All right, let's go to Barbara in Connecticut. Hey, Barbara, how are you?
Oh, my goodness.
That's an intro like you've never had before. That's what that is.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know.
They tickle.
Oh, do they? I've never had the pleasure,
I've never been tased. Yeah. This is something I never want to have.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't seem very pleasant, does it?
No. It's kind of probably like feeling like you're electrocuted or something. I mean, just you're just minding your own business and then whatever.
Well, in theory, you're just minding your own business. That depends on who you're asking. But you're just minding my own business and I get tased by like six police officers. All right, anyway, I'm going to shut up now before I dig myself into a deeper hole.
What the hell? Yeah. Okay. This is a little departure. I think I read this one once, but this can give you a feeling of how I feel when I'm driving. Okay, a lot of you may relate to this. So, it's called Road Thoughts. I would like to say fuck you to the everyday folk who come into my life, nameless and faceless, mostly in autos as they ride around with their attitude taped to their asses, honking for a two-second delay of my foot on the gas pedal. What is their deal is they can't possibly believe a two-second delay in their day is that important. What is 2 seconds after all? My 2 seconds is their 2 seconds, and why shouldn't I honk indiscriminately at the next car in front of me who impedes my practice, my progress? In the mad scramble of everyday life, do we even know what 2 seconds is going to give us? It's the time it takes to move your coffee cup to your lips and sip. And it's the time it takes for your eyes to see the stop sign and stop. And it's the amount of time it takes for a bicyclist to move into your path and slow you down. And why shouldn't all people have free passage? I say fuck you to all who think they are better than I on the road, though you ride in your expensive cars and glare at me if your ride is impeded in any way. I do not need to feel above the drivers on the road with me, and I am not going to feel below you, too. So go ahead and honk me, for I will be thinking for 2 seconds. Fuck you. End poem.
Yeah, damn it. I agree with you, Barbara. No, I was telling someone the other day, you know, I think my father had taught me one thing about driving. Now, this is very true, and it is something that did stick with me for some reason, which was, you know, be a boring, predictable driver. And the reason is I love driving fast. I'll do it when I can, when I can open up. But when I'm around other people, my goal, I've realized, is not just for me to get where I'm going on time and safely. My goal is for me to get on time and safely to where I'm going and everybody else to do the same thing. And I really don't like it when people aggressively are trying to push their way through or, you know, they're very egocentric about it all. And I kind of resonated with that.
Yeah, well, this is Connecticut drivers. I mean, this is Connecticut drivers. Say, if you stop at a stop sign or a light and then don't go, like, immediately, they honk you.
Ah, I see.
They will. They'll honk you. You know, you 2 seconds, that 2 seconds is real. If you take 2 seconds, they honk you.
Well, you remember New York doesn't even take 2 seconds. They just do it anyway.
Yeah, but not as bad as Connecticut. Actually,
oh, really? Really?
I hate to say it. New York drivers are better than Connecticut drivers. They have a little more patience. It's just...
I don't think I've ever heard that said before. Okay.
Not to mention that they'll just, if you stop for a second and you haven't moved, they'll just go right around you. They just will.
Mm, fair enough.
You know, that's the deal here. So, you know, I just got disgusted one day and wrote that, and I'm glad I think I read it one time here, one,
yeah,
maybe,
one
but
other time, Barbara.
Yeah, but it's, anyway, After Dark is the best place to read it.
That's true. It's true.
Okay, talk to you later. Have a great show, and it was a great show, and I missed some of it, so maybe if I get a chance, I just will, you know, listen to the show. But my life has become so busy on the weekends, you know, so I'll try.
Yes.
Okay, guys, have a great show, and getting off now because you have 6 more people after me. So good night.
Good night, Barbara.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye.
Have a great week.
And that was Barbara Kahn from Connecticut leading off our After Dark segment. Now next, Stan, it is your turn, my friend. Give us a call. We're waiting for Stan from Alabama. Caller number 2.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hey, do you have that? Do you have that theme music we can play in the meantime, the After Dark music?
You mean this one?
Yeah. Let's call Stan from Alabama. Hey, Stan. Welcome back.
They're coming. Be away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. So, to the funny farm, where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. That one's for you, Barry.
You know, it's great. The moment he mentioned that, that's exactly what started running through my head, too.
Same here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. Catchy song, yes, too.
Yes, and one should remember... You know, ignorance is no excuse, but insanity is an excellent defense.
I'm going to remember that phrase, actually. I think that's good. All right, so what do you have for us for the After Dark segment?
Well, what I got for you for the After Dark segment was something that I did back in 1969 as a class project for a sex education class.
Okay.
And I learned... 2 important lessons, which I'll reveal at the end of this.
All right.
Tonight has been parody night. And I thought I'd be smart. And I wrote down a little revision of lyrics to the song When the Caissons Go Rolling Along. I turned it in, quite amused with myself. I then spent the rest of my day going to the next 3 sex education classes performing it. The lessons I learned. 1, never think you're that clever. And 2, there is a price to be paid for being a smartass. And here it is. Over here, over there, yes, it's spreading everywhere. When the VD goes creeping along, fathers run, hide your son. Was your daughter having fun while the VD goes creeping along? So with that big syringe, fill us with penicillin. Call out your problem loud and strong. I said, call out your problem long and strong. Oh, like it's only me, you assholes. Even though it usually shows... You may never know when the VD goes creeping along. When the VD goes creeping along. End song.
Oh, I like that, Stan.
You know, we could try to market that in the fall's political campaigns. I think there's a large market for that.
That That might be a good song for them to play at every political convention, to give them an idea that things may not work out like you think, fellas.
Perfect. Yes, every single one. I think we should just we'll just cast the wide net. I think that's that makes
every
sense.
One of them, yep.
Yeah.
Well, there was a time when there was quite a few scandals running around Washington, and one of the favorite jokes were, "Do you know why politicians don't use bookmarks?"
Oh no.
Why?
Because they like their pages bent over.
Oh, man.
Wow. On to the next.
All right, Stan. Thank you, sir.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you. And that was Stan from Alabama.
Oh.
I don't know why that caught me the way it did.
Well, no, it's because of the delivery.
Oh, 100% the delivery.
Man.
All right, let's head now to Jim in Pennsylvania. Oh. Hello, Jim. Welcome back. Hello.
And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, to the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weaves are sitting small and twirl their thumbs, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
You know, it totally makes sense to me how many poets on this show know the lyrics to this song. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It totally makes sense to me, and now I feel closer to all of you.
Well, I heard that song, first heard that song on Dr. Demento.
Yep.
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 And explains so much.
Yes, it does, Jim. Yes, it does.
And I love that joke. Just the pages up. Oh. Because they like their pages bent over.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. I'm double face palming right now.
So, what do you have for us in this segment?
Well, it's like I asked if I could do two because one is clarifies what the first one is about.
Right. Yep. Right.
So it's titled. The first one is called "The Burning in His Pants." There's a burning in his pants with only one way of satisfaction. Discipline, which he lacks, is his only hedge against ruin. So when the urge rises regularly, his girlfriend rolls her eyes and asks, "Did you pay the bills first?" Now, people kind of saw it differently than I intended. So I came up with this one as R.E., the burning in his pants. He spoke of money in his pocket as the burning in his pants. The innocence of the meaning lost in how he wrote the piece. For he chose to mess with people's minds with his M. Night-esque twist, giving no thought they'd read it different than the way he intended it. End of piece.
I like that. That was enjoyable. Yeah.
It really was.
Yeah, and I had to explain to my girlfriend what it meant because... You know, it's the way I wrote it. It just seemed completely different.
Yep.
People say it's like, "Oh, that's sexual," and it's like, "No, no, 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 no." And I just, well,
yeah,
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 yeah.
I'm just letting this conversation happen, guys.
No, it was really well done.
Absolutely,
I appreciate it. I see where you were going, but I definitely see where they definitely saw
There's like when she's reading, it's like, you know, that does not sound the way you wrote it. So it's, I felt I was necessary to write the second one because, you know, it's, I'm kind of conscious of what I'm, how people are perceiving what I write.
Yeah.
You know, and in a case like that, it's like, you know, okay, I, you know, need to, you know what I mean.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm having a puberty moment.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Okay.
Well, I hate puberty. I'm glad it's over. It was the worst 34 years of my life. Okay, Mr. Simpson.
All right.
I guess I do that at work, too.
Jim, my life's flashing before my eyes. No. All right. All right, Jim, thanks so much for everything, man. We'll talk to you next time. Thank you. All right. Thank you.
See you next week.
See you next week. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania, land of enchantment. And we're now going to head to Arizona, land of sidewalk eggs.
Sidewalk eggs. Okay. I like that. We can use that. Yeah.
That makes sense. Makes sense. Right?
Land of sidewalk.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Mary.
It's only 9:30, but it feels like midnight.
Well, it says 10:30 where we are, so I mean, I think you're planning an advantage here.
She got lucky. She didn't have to change.
After dark. Yeah.
It's all right. She's all right. There's that magical line just drawn right through.
You know what I heard when I was young? I had three brothers. The one that I would still talk to had I had the opportunity. They're alive, but anyway. He used to say, "I'm a lover, not a fighter." And he'd give me this little blonde hair, blue-eyed, shit-eating grin. And I loved him saying that. No, I really loved him saying that because it meant something to me.
Yep.
And so whenever I could say, "fuck you and shit you and fuck," I always really would rather say, "let's just do something else." So I'm going to do this other After Dark kind of thing. I just picked a little thing because I didn't know it was After Dark, and had I known, I'd have made one. But this is by Vasilica Albedo Benu. It's from the Emma Press. And it's called Office Hour. In his dim, cluttered room, and he's going over the derivation of Spearman's correlation coefficient that I am correlating to the coefficient of his ring finger taken by the girth of the wrist flexor packing his unbuttoned cuff. I'm close enough to see the warp of his poplin shirt. Breathe in the woody bass note of his aftershave. And now a message pops up on the screen. Something about the tightness of duct tape on lips and a whip. And all I can do is pretend I didn't see. But I did. But I did. And boom.
Mary, there's the deep reservoirs of emotion there in the work that we really... We can really sense every time you're reading, and that was definitely no exception. Thank you.
I thank you for that. I thank you for After Dark. I thank you for your venue and you lovely boys and all the people that call in to share. Mm-hmm. Next one.
Thank you, Mary.
Night-night.
Good night.
I'm also in my cottonies. I'm in cottonies in Arizona. What do you want?
All right. Mary, thanks so much. Have a great week, okay?
You're welcome. Yeah, you too.
All right. Bye. And that was Mary calling from Arizona for the third time this evening. Absolutely solid work. Loved it. Let's go now to the East Coast, where it's much later. Marisol in New York. Hello, Marisol. Hello.
I'm correlating to the coefficient of his ring.
Marisol, hello.
Yes.
Hello. It sounds like you're listening a little bit. There's the buffers kind of making time distort here. So we've got you. It's your time. And
okay.
I know it's a little bit later. No, I never asked, where in New York are you?
Oh, I'm in Brooklyn.
Oh, you're in Brooklyn. Okay. I've walked around Brooklyn
yes.
quite a bit in the past.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. I sure did. I sure did.
Ooh.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy out here sometimes.
Oh, it's good stuff out there, though. It's a totally different world. Coming from Denver, Colorado, going out to New York was a totally different world, let me tell you.
I bet.
I've got to tell you, really quickly before you get to it, my first night there, yes. I decide I'm going to go get on the subway and explore. My first mm-hmm. night in New York. And at this point, mm-hmm. I'm staying at like 40th and Flushing in Queens. And I go and I get on the subway. I go into Manhattan. I'm going all around. I don't really know where I am. And I stand there and I realize suddenly I'm alone. I'm standing Like, I'm in the middle of the city and there's nobody around. And I'm like, and this is before smartphones and stuff. And I'm going, where the hell am I? And I turn around and I see the statue of where George Washington accepted the first presidency. And I'm like, great. I still know where the hell I am. And I realized, I guess I was standing in Wall Street on like a Thursday night at like 11 p.m. There was nobody there.
And no one. I'm telling you, it's so isolated over there.
It's scary. It's weird.
It's really scary over there.
Yeah. So I saw one police officer about a block away, just wandering, you know, out on his beat. Mm-hmm. And I go over and I asked him, I go, where should I go eat? And he recommends this, I believe it was a Chinese restaurant. We go there and I swear it was being run by the mafia, and it was amazing food. And it was the best first night you could ask for in a place like New York. So.
Wow. Did you ever return? Have you ever came back?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I love it there. I want to go back again here soon. I was thinking about trying to go back this summer, but we'll see.
Yeah, the summer's pretty awesome. It's awesome.
I know autumn's good, but you know I'm a teacher, so I'm always I'm stuck doing all the other stuff for kids, you know.
Yeah, I feel you. I'm an assistant teacher, so it's
so
like
you know.
I
okay.
Yeah.
You know how it goes. All right. Well, so I'm gonna stop talking about me because I'm getting all like self-centered over here. I'm gonna let you have the stage and let you share what you'd like to.
Okay. Now, the next poem I'm going to pick is The King of My Throne. I wrote this a couple of years ago for my second book. And everyone seems to like it. Some have their own opinions. It's one of my favorites. Welcome, Your Highness. It is I who has summoned you. I am the Empress Isis, the one and true goddess. I am your one and only love, the rubies on your throne, the platinum on your crown, your pleasure when we're alone. You're flawless, my king. I want to breathe your air. You captivate me with your humbleness. I embrace your every stare. Your lustful approach that intensifies my thoughts, bringing chills to my spine that comes from the eternal devotion you've brought. You illuminate my kingdom like a sky full of stars in plain sight, making me feel salacious and sensuous on a royal and magical night. My palace awaits your arrival as I greet you, my honorable one. Now take me to your imperial suite and show me how it's done. You take my voluptuous body and passionately make it a treat. Your raunchy and erotic ways makes every part of me complete. Shower me with your roses, O sweet emperor of mine. Stimulate and rule this queen, satisfying what's between my thighs. A provocative and promiscuous empress of I is whom I define. Seduce me with your aphrodisiac and entertain me with some illustrious wine. We drink one glass, two glasses, maybe three or four, expressing the depth of our love, looking forward to what's in store. Craving your heartbeat next to mine, my body screams with desire as I embrace you tighter in my arms. I can feel the passion of your fire. It burns me with dirty thoughts as you enter me with ease, wanting nothing more or nothing less than to please me. With great satisfaction, we scream and moan, demonstrating all the reasons why you are the king of this throne. End of poem.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Way to go, Marisol. It's cool.
Thank you.
I think it's good to be able to express that kind of thing, too, right? In an environment where you know it's going to be accepted.
Yes, I know.
That's big, huh?
It's true.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing it with us. We appreciate it.
And thank you for having me again.
Of course. Anytime.
Okay. You guys have a good night.
Hey, you as well. Have a wonderful night there in Brooklyn, okay?
Okay, and visit soon, okay?
All right, I'll let you know when I am, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, bye. And that was Marisol calling from Brooklyn in New York. All right, now let's go back to Eric in Texas. Let's see if we're going to have that little issue. I hope we don't here. All right, it sounds good. Hey, Eric, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
All right, perfect. Sounds like the phone system's working way better than it was in the past. So the floor is yours. Take it as you will.
All right. This one is called The Politically Incorrect Hermaphrodite. It's in my sixth book, Volume 1, which hopefully will be published sometime in the future. I got to type it up and send it to a publisher. So, The Politically Incorrect Hermaphrodite. I was born with a vagina, a penis, women's breasts, and a butthole. I have chosen to keep both genitals in order to be straight, bisexual, lesbian, homosexual, transgender, and transsexual. Because I am sexually attracted to everyone and want to fuck and be fucked by them all. Whenever I masturbate, I finger my pussy, my butt, and jack off my penis. Whenever I have sex, I fuck a woman with my penis. A man fucks me in my butt, and another man fucks my pussy, except for whenever I mix it up. By getting a blowjob by a man while getting my pussy eaten out by a lesbian, myself sucking a homosexual man off while a transgender sucks and bites my boobs, while a bisexual man eats my butthole, etc. Lust, sex, and pleasure are not sacred and should be shared by everyone who wants to endure them. I know that it's not politically correct to do what I do. However, I'm not here to live my life by your societal constraints. I will continue living my life however I see fit to do so. That's the end. Peace.
I got to be honest, partway through that, Eric, I'm going, well, we asked for it.
Right?
Yeah. Man, well,
I told you I was writing offensive poems too, so.
Oh, no.
This was designed to be the place for that.
Yeah.
You know, so you
That's
did
right.
it exactly
That's
there.
Right.
And I appreciate that. And you know what? I totally get the point of the piece. I totally get where you were going with that. So thank you for sharing, man.
Well, thank you guys so much. Thanks for allowing me on your show. I'm going to try to be here every Friday I can. Sometimes I work very long hours. On Thursday I work 13-hour shifts.
I get it.
My new job. And so some days I'm not going to be here, but hopefully I can. And I appreciate it. Thanks for everything. Thanks for the platform.
You got it. We love it. Anytime you can join us.
And listen to the rest of the show.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much.
All right. You're welcome.
All right. Good night. And that was Eric calling from Texas, the great state of Texas. Man, you know, I saw something today. They were talking about the distortion of the size of countries and things on globes and maps
Yeah.
And so they actually took the real size of Texas and put it on top of Europe.
It's insane, isn't it?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That suddenly gives a lot of perspective.
Everything into perspective of how much land we actually do have.
Oh man, but then you realize Brazil.
I know, it's huge.
And we just totally blow off how big that country is.
Well, yeah, because there's only certain cities we know of.
Right, yeah, because we're not, you know, let's just...
We're...
America, we're very self-centered here.
America, if you...
Oh, hey, you know what? There are some great things in this country,
there
for
are
sure.
Some
and so
really cool things.
I'm not calling that down. I just think there's just a lot... You know what? Let's do this. Instead of making a comment about a negative comment, which I'm so easy to do, so easy to do, I think the reason that happens is there are so many things to pay attention to and learn in this world.
Yeah.
You have to selectively choose what you're going after. It's a pity that we don't know more about Brazil.
It is.
And I feel like we could, because it's such a large, large country.
And we easily could. I mean, there's we have tons of information on it.
There's so much stuff.
There is. There is a lot of stuff out there. And there's great comparisons to other countries their cultures, their land, their geography itself, that compare straight into a spot in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go, oh yeah, they're really close to what mm-hmm. I do. They live in mm-hmm. the mountains, things like that, or wherever.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very it's close. Stuff. Yeah. All right. Let's just spin out of that conversation, which I think was good. Let's go now to Kentucky. Let's close it out with Philip. Hello, Philip.
Hey.
Hey.
Yes.
All right. Here you are. You're the closer, as it were, of After Dark.
I will do my best, but just very briefly, Michael, I just want to let you know, it's serendipity, perhaps. I have just discovered this interview, and I don't know how to pronounce this fellow's name. You can correct me. Giorgi Ligeti, the composer, got 2 hours worth of his talking about piano etudes, etc.
Oh, really?
By BBC. Yes, so be sure that I am going to send that to you by Facebook at some point. I don't know if you'll
fantastic.
Be interested, but
no, I will.
Who else am I going to share all this music with? So
I've got plenty of stuff. I'll start sending you some things back your way. I've been kind of doing some deep dives and stuff.
You're busy. I can't believe you keep your head above the water. You know, teaching them little rascals all day. And
I'm trying to get better about that.
Yeah, you do a lot, sir. It's just my way of saying I appreciate it, and I'll get to it.
Thanks, Philip.
Apparently, sometimes my titles can be, I don't know, but here we go. The title for this piece, Drowsily She Comes. And here we go. At blue-black pre-dawn, prior to the skies, a sanguine, ripe color of a woman right before her first blush exudes through clouds and swift sluice conduits of her arterial secrecy, you arrive unannounced. A soft, confident voice, recursive, whispered waves lapping carte blanche shores, untouched by this unruly penmanship or its loves. Memories made feminine by connotations that blossom, denotations arguably masculine in their staunch insistence, their unrelenting rigidity. Reach into her yielding body the way monks maneuver and prepare those vessels of collected ash or water once they've been blessed. Ease gently into her depths, searching for etymologies that suit some idea. Kisses upon a body of words until the breath no longer may support the weight of a single stanza. And there it is, fellers.
First of all, the title made me laugh quite a bit, but I really did enjoy that piece.
Oh, thank you, Michael. You're much supportive, sir. I really appreciate you guys. I know you guys are probably sleepy, but I hope you have enough energy to have your victory meal. I don't know if you guys still do that.
Oh, of course we do. Yeah. Of course.
Talladega Nights.
Well, eat heartily, and may the fourth be with you.
Hey. May the fourth be with you, too, Philip.
Right. Philip, I appreciate you, man.
Guys.
Well, cheers. We'll see you. Have a great night, okay?
Yes, you too. Cheers.
All right. Cheers. Bye. And that was Philip Cohn all the way from Kentucky, rounding off our After Dark segment here on the first show of May 2018. Everybody listening, I want to say thank you so much. Thanks for sticking with us. Thanks for bringing your work. Thanks for bringing yourselves and your personalities and everything you stand for. We really do care about you. It really does matter to us. And we look forward to seeing you next week. I'm going to have something special for you on the return engagement segment. We'll also have 3 more clues and all that stuff. I'm just going to repeat it as I usually do. From Ursa, the studio dog. From Novia, the studio cat. From JT and myself. Thank you. Keep writing. We'll see you next time.